Good to be with you here today. And where I grew up probably influenced my love to know things of the past. And I grew up in Williamsburg, Virginia, which is surrounded by a lot of national history there. And so I take interest. I wouldn't consider myself a history buff, but I do take interest in things that are of historical nature. And something that happened on the world stage in 1914, World War I began. And World War I is probably one of the deadliest wars. Over the course of the 4 years at battle, over 15 million people lost their lives. And in the midst of that intense turmoil and hostility, there was extreme destruction, excessive carnage. But there was a moment of tranquility, almost 105 years to the day. Let's take a look.
Jenkins, Oakley,
Knight.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
Schön, just schön.
There was a moment of peace in the midst of chaos one morning in 1914. This is probably one of the most famous Christmases in history, and the fact that people still talk about it to this day is a very good indication that the very human desire for peace, no matter how short-lived, exists in our world. We get glimpses of that day and what that day would be like when there would be no more fighting, no more war or chaos. However, anything humanity can obtain on its own efforts, like the Christmas Day truce, is momentary, and it leaves us wanting more. Well, there was another day thousands of years ago when an even greater declaration of peace was given on the earth through the birth of the Messiah, the promised one. And in order for peace to exist beyond what you and I can create on our own, we need something that is beyond our human capability. The prophet Isaiah spoke about one who would come and bring peace to the world. Not only would he bring peace, he would be the Prince of Peace. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 9, or if you want to use one of the Bibles here around the room, it's on page 687. But Isaiah chapter 9, all this past month, leading up to Christmas, we have focused on one verse in Isaiah 9 that describes the coming Messiah. And if you have been with us these past weeks, you know that this message that we see in Isaiah was a message given to King Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah, and that came in the midst of a time of social and political unrest. And so the people of Judah, they did not trust God to deliver them from the enemies that were attacking them. Instead, they sought favor and protection from another nation instead of God. And so in a sense, God gave them what they wanted, and they suffered the consequences of not having God as their defender. It was as if the nation was underneath a blanket of gloom and darkness. There was fear and distress and hopelessness, because when trust is placed in anything or anyone, fear, hopelessness, and unrest run rampant. Even though Judah was under darkness, God didn't leave them that way. In fact, he gave a message to the prophet Isaiah, and that's what we have here recorded in Isaiah chapter 9. And it was a message of hope to the people then, and it provides a message of hope to us today. So we're going to be reading verse 2 and then 6 through 8. It says, The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This prophecy here that we just read is a message of hope of a coming child who would be a light in the darkness, and he would lift the gloom that was so prevalent. This coming child would be like no other, and that his rule and his reign would have no end. And so this week we have, up into this week here, we've been learning that this child is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and then today, the Prince of Peace. People today are in need of a message of peace, just like the people who are hearing the message for the first time in Judah. Similar to Judah, we have a lot of turmoil and distress in our world today. This past year, just think about it, we've seen natural disasters such as cyclones, fires, and hurricanes. There were crimes, terrorist attacks, riots, shootings, crashes, bombings. And then there's still political instability in countries around the world. And here, if you look in our own country, political parties fight against each other every day. The economy is up, and then it's down. It's up, and then it's down, and it causes financial concerns around the globe. There's turmoil and distress, not only in the world around us, but also in between family and friends. There's disagreements and offenses, expectations that aren't met or wondered about, and that causes more and more strain on relationships. We feel the stress, maybe in particular, because the person who causes the stress in our life is going to be in the same room or sitting at the same dinner table in just a few short days. Not only is there turmoil in our relationships, but there's also turmoil in our world, but we have turmoil in our relationships. We have turmoil and distress in ourselves. There's fears that we experience, worries, anxieties, doubts, and the like that swarm into our hearts and our minds daily. You know what I'm talking about. The things that you lie awake at night and think about, keeps you awake. We're dealing with a lot of turmoil and unrest in our world and in our hearts. The Bible app, if you have it on your phone, it's a very popular app, but the Bible app just released the most popular, searched for, highlighted, bookmarked verse of 2019, which was Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And it reads, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see, we're all searching for some kind of resolution to the stress and fear and turmoil that we have in our world. And our relationships, our hearts need a message of peace. We need, as in the time of Isaiah, a Prince of Peace to come and not just give us this one-day truce, but to give us a lasting rule and reign of peace. When we see the word peace here in Scripture, it's natural for us to define the meaning how the dictionary does, which means tranquility or freedom from disturbance. And as a mom of two little children, I crave this kind of peace, tranquility, no disturbance, all those kind of things. A few weeks ago, Sam got up early with me one morning, and Sean had already gone off to work that day. So Sam and I were just playing around. And, you know, he had been getting over this cough or cold, and so he had a lingering cough. And he started that morning to cough, which caused him to gag, which then caused him to vomit. And so I didn't have anything. We were just playing in the living room. I didn't have anything to catch it with, so I used my hands, caught all that warm, yummy goodness in my hands. And then I'm trying to get to the bathroom to clean up everybody, and so I'm scooting Sam at the same time, me trying to get there, and all the while, you know, vomit is going through my fingers, dripping on the hardwood floors all along the way. Yeah, wonderful. So I clean up everything eventually, get Sam all cleaned up, myself, the floors, everything's back to normal. I'm in the kitchen, getting things ready, putting things away. Kate's awake by now, and so I hear in the living room again, I'm in the kitchen, living room again, I hear this gagging noise, and I'm like, oh no, it's happening again. So I quickly run into the living room, and only to see our 85-pound dog now heaving and about to vomit as well on the rug. So I quickly tried to get Nelson out the door, but it didn't go fast enough. So I'm cleaning the floor again, and myself, of vomit, this time of pet vomit. So getting all that cleaned up, and so then getting ready to leave for work, and only again did Sam start coughing and gagging and vomiting again, all over the same floor space and myself. So that was a beautiful smell in our house that day. In the span of an hour and a half, I don't think my floors have been as disgusting and as clean as they were that day. But you see, that that kind of activity and having two little humans brings that kind of stress and things that happen in my life. And so at the end of a day, all I want to do is sit down in peace. Tranquility, hearing nothing, listening to nothing, staring at a wall is glorious. But that kind of peace is not what we read here in Scripture. Here in Isaiah, the word peace or shalom is mentioned 25 times, the first appearance being in verse 6. In the Scriptures, peace means complete, completeness, wholeness, total flourishing. It is the total restoration of all that is broken. And so here in verse 6, the introduction of peace is not to just some idea, but rather to someone who will restore the world to how it should be. Isaiah told, said that there would be a prince of this kind of shalom. The word prince in the original language refers to a representative of the king or a commander, meaning there would be one sent to the earth that would have the authority to bring peace, to mend the broken, to set right the wrong. When the angels came to announce the birth of Jesus, they proclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those his favor rest." You see, Jesus is the one who is the Prince of Peace, the one who can command shalom in our world and in our lives. Peace is not just an absence of chaos, though. It's the presence of wholeness. Peace is not the absence of chaos, it's the presence of wholeness. That's true peace. Our world needs that kind of peace, don't you think? We all need that kind of peace. Our focus today is that in order to have the peace of God, you have to have peace with God. In order to have the peace of God, you have to have the peace. You have to have peace with God. So I ask, what would it look like to have that kind of peace of God in your life today? I think there's really ultimately three areas that we seek: shalom and restoration and peace. The first is peace with God. Peace with God. Because that's at its core. Peace is reconciliation with God. All the turmoil and distress and unrest that are in our world today came as a result of brokenness. If you rewind back to the creation of the world, this was a place of peace, of wholeness that existed. The Garden of Eden was where creation functioned as it was designed and where relationships were whole. Humankind was pure, innocent, and complete. However, that was all ruined as a result of disobedience. And from that moment on, the world has been incomplete. The way in which creation and humanity was designed to function is broken. Our world, our relationships, our hearts have been malfunctioning ever since. You see, sin entered the world, fractured our world, and left us all wanting more than what we see before our eyes. The good news is, especially what we celebrate at Christmas time, is that the Restorer came into our world to fix that which was broken. That's the whole story of the Bible, really, is how God is restoring his world back to how it should be. And so God sent his son, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to make all wrong things right again and restore humanity to God. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossian church, says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." You see, peace and reconciliation, shalom, is found in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. What was broken in the Garden of Eden is now restored at the cross of Calvary. I love this painting by Sister Grace Remington. You see on the left, Eve, who is a representation of what was broken in the garden because of sin. On the right is Mary. She is a representation of restoration because of who is within her, and she is comforting Eve. If you notice, the image is surrounded by a fruit, which is represents disobedience or sin. And if you look closely, you can see how Mary is standing on the serpent, because the one who is within her is the very one who would come and crush the source of sin and disobedience as foretold in the book of Genesis. You see, when you're surrounded by sin and turmoil, and we can still rest assured that Jesus, the very one who crushed the source of all that brokenness, has come to heal and set right the wrong. Isaiah spoke of the peace that came through the sacrifice of Jesus. In Isaiah 53, he wrote, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Peace with God comes only through knowing Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Romans 5:1 says, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." In order for us to experience the peace of God, we have to have peace with God. The only way in which to have peace with God is through faith in Jesus Christ. He restored broken relationship between God and humanity. So first, we all crave peace with God. Secondly, peace with others. Jesus restored relationships between each one of us. For centuries, there have been barriers built between ethnic groups, genders, political parties, social classes, age brackets, religions, and more. But if you look at the life of Jesus, you see how he restored those relationships. Isaiah in chapter 9 foretold that the Prince of Peace would have justice and righteousness in his kingdom. Jesus was upright and fair in his dealings with others. In the time of Isaiah, the rulers and the kings were typically the source of division, the source of barriers. But so for a prince to come and be the one who mends those relationships and restores wholeness, that was unusual. That was a message of hope and peace. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians about Jesus, "For Jesus himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near." If you've ever visited Chicago, you know that the river is beautiful there, and you can see it, enjoy it. They dye it green even for St. Patrick's Day, but it hasn't always been that way. In October 1871, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed much of the bustling city of Chicago. And surprisingly, though, the flames actually started on the other side of the river, of the Chicago River. So you might be wondering, well, how did it get to Chicago and cause such great destruction? This river-jumping fire is partially explained by the wooden ships that were moored in the Chicago River, and so the firewood traveled that way. But there's also another even more important factor in the spread of the fire. You see, in those days, the Chicago River was a shallow, sluggish sewer for the entire city. The Union stockyards in Chicago would actually dump all the animal waste into the Chicago River, and people referred to it as the stinking river. It was so bad that the waste was actually combustible. All of this decay flowed into Lake Michigan, where there were drinking water intakes for the city, and waterborne diseases naturally broke out because of it. Every year through the 1880s and the 1890s, at least 10,000 people died from cholera and the typhoid fever. And in 1885, 14 years after the Great Chicago Fire, 100,000 people nearly died from illnesses carried by the river's putrid waters. So finally, city engineers decided to do something about it, and they started digging 28 miles of canal. They moved more earth and rocks than was taken to build the Panama Canal. It was massive. And so then they set locks and gates in place. And then on January 2nd, 1900, a worker opened a drain gate at Lake Michigan, and the entire Chicago, and the entire Great Lakes flowed into the Chicago River, pushing it in a direction it had never flowed before. They reversed the flow of the Chicago River. It now flowed the opposite way, into the canal, into the Des Plaines River, into the Illinois River, and then into the Mississippi. This brought a huge flow of fresh water. Instead of shallow, sluggish, diseased water making the community sick, the river now brought the city life. Some writers argue that Chicago would not even be around today if the flow of the Chicago River had not been reversed. You see, the way in which Jesus lived and restored this world is a complete reversal of the brokenness that came as a result of sin. Likewise, the way in which we are to interact with others is a complete reversal of how humanity naturally wants to subdivide and stereotype and class. You see, to live out the peace of God, we have to push against the flow of culture and tradition. To live out the peace of God, we might have to get a little messy in loving others who are not like us because we're pushing against the disease of hatred and racism and discrimination. We may have to feel as though we're trudging through mud to give a voice to the lowly and shine a light on those who live in darkness. But we're called to reverse the water. The peace that Jesus brings to our world, it's new, it's living, it's full of life, it's refreshing. Jesus showed us how to mend these broken relationships that existed because of pride or greed or selfishness or hostility. While on earth, Jesus interacted and related to those who were of different ethnicity than him, which was unheard of at his time. Jesus also invited women to follow him, which that he was in a society that overlooked women, forgot about them. Jesus empowered the weak, healed the sick, dialogued with respect and grace with those who were of different political beliefs or religions. Jesus spoke up for the poor, the vulnerable, and the disabled. You see, Jesus lived out shalom, the peace he came to bring. Jesus is the ruler, the commander, the ambassador of peace, which God intended to have here on the earth. Through Jesus, we can have restoration with others because we're surrendered to the Prince of Peace. Remember, in order for us to experience this kind of peace, though, you first have to have peace with God. Not only do we need peace with God, we need peace with others, but lastly, we desire peace within ourselves. We all want to have this internal peace. It's definitely not a secret. If you turn on TV and see advertisements, you see every business is trying to capitalize on this felt desire for inner peace, from cable TV companies, insurance companies, security systems, car dealerships. Even a laxative brand wants to give you peace of mind. However, none of these companies, none of them, can help you obtain true peace within. Listen to these words Jesus said in John 14:27. He said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus promised to give us his peace. The question is, why do we struggle having peace? Why do we have this worry and anxiety in our hearts and in our minds? Because there's a lot going on around us in the world, in our lives. So why do we not have this peace that Jesus promised? Maybe these are one of the reasons. Maybe your circumstances are uncontrollable. New York City traffic, for one. Have you ever sat in there? You feel helpless, out of control, frustrated. Maybe you lost a job with unexplainable reasons, struggled with infertility. There's many different ways in which you can feel like you are out of control of your circumstances, and it can cause frustration and cause you to lose your peace. Or maybe your relationships are unchangeable. Have you ever tried to change somebody? Maybe a friend, a spouse, a child, a coworker, your boss. If you've tried to change someone, you've been frustrated, I'm sure. And even if you did succeed in changing the person, I'm sure then something else would come up which would cause you anxiety and stress and want something else to change about them. Or maybe you feel as though your problems are unexplainable. Life isn't fair. We all know that. Things don't go our way many of the times, and so we lose our peace, and then we carry fear, and we carry stress. Society advertises many different ways in which you can find inner peace or try to find inner peace. Maybe it's through meditation, positive thinking, a therapy, or denial. But true peace, this restoration of brokenness, can only come through an internal trust and reliance on the Prince of Peace. In order for us to experience the peace of God, we must have peace with God. Your trust for your life and your circumstances must be grounded in Jesus. He alone is your peace, no matter what's happening around you. He's fixing what is broken around you. The peace of God surrounds our hearts and our minds in order for us to combat against anxiety, stress, uncertainties, and pains. In fact, we can have peace so deep that we can have contentment in the midst of circumstances, even in times of great difficulty. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He said in Philippians 4, "I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." The Prince of Peace equips us to fight against the worries of life with the peace of God. Through his strength, we can have peace within. Only through his strength can we have peace within. There's a completeness, a wholeness, an inner strength that comes from the peace with God. In the end, despite what is happening around you, you know God is making all things new, is healing the hurts around us, and trust God with his goodness. Trust him. God is faithful to you, and he will bring wholeness to your life and will bring completion to those areas and questions that you have. In order to have the peace of God, we have to first, though, have the peace with God. The Christmas truce of 1914 was a phenomenon in that two enemies met in the middle to establish a day of peace. But when Jesus came to the earth, there was no meeting in the middle. In fact, Jesus came all the way into enemy territory in order to establish peace. Scripture says that he was despised and rejected, yet the mission to restore humanity to God had to be accomplished. We can have a peace with God because of the battle Jesus won on the cross. Jesus brought peace into our world through self-sacrifice and love, and Jesus willingly laid down his own life in order for our lives to be made whole. And as a follower of the Prince of Peace, we're called to be agents of this kind of shalom and bring restoration and healing and wholeness into our world, into our relationships, and into our hearts. The peace Jesus came to bring to this earth is not just good for a day, though. It's not even good for just a decade. Jesus came, and his peace is forever. Healing and complete restoration was set into motion the moment Jesus entered our time and entered our space. Peace is this destination, and it's a journey. You see, we can have peace with God through our faith in Jesus Christ, and yet still yearn to have the peace of God in and through all of our circumstances. When things around us seem to be falling apart, it is the peace with God that helps to give us the peace of God. Jesus came to bring lasting peace once and for all, and as was reminded to us in Isaiah 9:7. One day the world and all the lives in it will be as intended. There will be complete wholeness. And until that day, though, we need to surrender our lives to the Prince of Peace and give him rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives. And then we will see the peace of God flow in through us and out into our lives and relationships around us. I'd ask you now to close your eyes in an attitude of prayer and reflection. And during this time, it's easy to come to church, hear something, and leave, and not even process it within your heart and your mind. And so in these next few moments, I just want to give you some space to walk you through intentional reflection time on peace. It's been said in order to experience the peace of God, we must have peace with God. I ask, do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with God? Have you received forgiveness and wholeness that only Jesus can give? The only way in which to have peace with God is through faith in Jesus Christ. He restored our broken relationship between God. To have this kind of peace with God, you simply must accept that you're broken because of sin. Accept that you're broken. And believe that Jesus is the restorer. And confess your need for him. I invite you after the service to come forward and pray with someone here about the peace with God that you can receive today. Because we all need to have peace with God. We follow the Prince of Peace, who rights the wrongs, who loves selflessly. I ask, how are you being an agent of peace and healing and restoration in your community, your workplace, your family, your school, your relationships? How are you being an agent of peace? We all want to have peace within, to have the peace of God. What kind of turmoil or unrest is in your mind today? What keeps you up? Who keeps you up at night? Fills your mind with worry, anxiety, fear. in the next few moments, I want to just give you space to surrender your thoughts, to surrender those circumstances, surrender those people to the Prince of Peace. In these next few moments, use that to surrender it to Jesus. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. There is no one like you who can come and restore broken hearts, who can come and mend relationships and break down walls and barriers that have existed for so long, whether between families, whether between workers, whether between countries, ethnicities, races, religions. God, you can knock down all the walls and bring healing and hope and peace. God, that's what our world needs today. That's what our hearts need today. That's what our families need today. We need your peace. We need your restoration that only you can give. And it's a lasting one. It's not one that's going to come and go. So God, we surrender to you. We surrender our worries, our fears, our anxieties of what could happen. We don't want to travel down the road of what could be. God, we today give all of that over to you, the Prince, the Commander, the only one who can bring healing and restoration, the only one who can set right the wrongs and heal the brokenness that exists. So God, we trust you by faith to take care of it. We give it to you. We trust you, a good God, a faithful God, one who has never let us down. So God, we pray that you surround our hearts and minds with the peace that only comes from having you rule in our hearts. Jesus, you are our peace. Thank you for coming, invading our territory, and healing all that was broken through sin and destruction. God, comfort our souls today. Help us to have that peace that passes all understanding because our eyes are fixed on you, Jesus. We pray all of this in your name alone. Amen.